Ever wondered who and what is shaping Luxembourg? This is your Lux Unplugged podcast with your hosts, Adrian and Thierry.
Hi, I'm Thierry. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of the Lux Unplugged podcast, supported by the Luxembourg Chamber of Commerce. I had the pleasure of speaking with Christoph Timmermans, the CEO of Solar Clino. Renewable energy is a topic of great interest, not only in Luxembourg, but around the world. At the same time, the growing influence of AI and the increasing reality of automation and robotics in our lives, especially at work, I find Solar Clino to be a fascinating company. This is because they work at the intersection of automation and the renewables energy sector. As Christoph explains in our conversation, Solar Clino is a 21st century company, headquartered in Luxembourg, but is working around the world. We discuss the exciting project Solar Clino is working on and how Gen Z and millennials are helping to drive the company forward in this sector. But now, without further ado, my conversation with Christoph Timmermans, CEO at Solar Clino. Christoph, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Thierry, for inviting me.
For people who don't know you, could you please introduce yourself?
I'm Christoph Timmermans. I'm the CEO of Solar Clino and Forprotec, based in Graz, near Steinfurt. We produce robots which are evolving in the solar industry and material for work at height and safety for workers at height. Basically, I grew up in Luxembourg in a very international environment and decided to study international business. So I went to Paris and London and Berlin to educate myself a little bit in this regard. And after finishing studying, I had the feeling that I indeed saw the international finance area quite well, having done internships in London, Germany, and France. But I thought there was more about it, so I decided to travel with a bicycle through Africa, especially Sahara, and then through the Andes. So during 1 year, I did a 15,000 kilometer bike trip where I also got the opportunity to learn to speak Spanish. And coming back home, I started to work at PwC, needing a little bit of challenges. And that's when I realized that I wanted to get back to the industry. And during my studies, I did an internship within Airbus, and I kept some contacts over there and moved back to south of France in Marseille to work for Airbus Helicopter, the helicopter branch of Airbus. So I worked there for 12 years, initially in finance, but then in sales, always in contact with engineering because it's a very high-end technical device, a helicopter. And at the end, I was responsible for the sales network in Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and Turkey. So I got to see many aspects of the aircraft industry, and it's really a period I enjoyed very much. But together with my brother, we were looking into taking over the family company, which is Forprotec. And I got the opportunity to quit Airbus and to come back to Luxembourg and start a great venture together with my brother. So we took over the shares of my father, and we worked together with his partner for 2 more years. And then we decided that we would buy him out in 2020. So nowadays, Forprotec belongs completely to us. And in parallel to this, an opportunity appeared, which was brought by one of Forprotec's customers, Mr. Dutoit. And we created together Solar Clino in 2017 when the requirement for cleaning solar panel arose. In the beginning, it was a Forprotec project. Our intention was to create one device, but the success was there. So we made a spin-off and we created a separated entity.
Okay, so overall, I think what you just mentioned, you know, from your extensive travels and your international work experience in the different countries, sometimes, you know, people like to say all roads lead back to Luxembourg, and that's where you are based now. But obviously, you are traveling, both companies, you are traveling internationally quite a lot as well. So could you just walk us through how a solar cleaner was started and its history in Luxembourg?
Well, at the beginning, it was really the need to create something that's enabled to clean solar panel more efficiently. So you have to understand that solar panels are losing a bit of their efficiency if they are not cleaned. The reason for that is that you have pollen, sand, or dust, which would arrive on the panel, and it disrupts the arrival of the sun on the panel themselves. So by cleaning, you generate energy and you create value. Basically, there are two markets, the dry cleaning and the wet cleaning markets. Here in Europe, we clean with relatively low frequencies because the rain is doing part of the job. But the success of solar cleaner proves that the rain doesn't do the full job. So basically, you can have a soiling loss between 0.5 to 30%, depending on the level of soiling. So this statement in 2017 wasn't that clear for all the investors who had or who were investing in solar energy. Solar energy was starting to really boom, especially driven by a subsidized scheme in Europe, but also outside Europe. And then it's clear that the geopolitical complexity and the different crises we went through the last years had a very positive impact on the investments in the solar industry, because the demand for autonomy in energy is growing in every country and they invest a lot in this field. So we were, I would say, at the right place with the right product at the right moment. We took our first robot on the market in 2018. The first year we sold 20 units, which we found absolutely fantastic. And for this same model, nowadays we sell 40 units per month. So it's been a long road to where we stand, and the market continues to grow. So I think there is still a long road ahead of us. We started with one robot, and rapidly we realized that there were differences in the market. And so we complemented our initial product with a product portfolio by developing more or less one new robot per year. So we grew our engineering team, and we grew very much the complexity of the robots. And that's where we stand today. So within the last 6 years, I think that growth has been the main driver for growth of the market, but also the improvement of our product has been the main drivers for the success of Solar Clino. And because initially your question was raised about the internationality of the company, I think that in this regard, from Luxembourg, we are very much spoiled, because people around here speak on average 5 languages. So people working for Solar Clino, most of them able to do business with, I would say, the main and most important countries around the world. And this enabled us to grow rapidly in a very international environment. It's clear that our market is not our home country. We barely sell in Luxembourg. We have one or two robots, but the solar energy here is still relatively limited. But we have major sales campaign successes in Latin America and Southeast Asia. And doing this from Luxembourg has been, I believe, quite efficient.
Before we talk a little bit more about your role with Volpatec and obviously the synergies of both companies, one question that comes to mind right away is, from your background, you know, working in the helicopter industry or with Airbus, R&D is really important at that time. So can you tell our listeners about your robots and how important R&D is? And, you know, what you as a company require to fulfill those requirements?
Yeah, for sure. But first of all, I think it's important for people to understand that R&D within Airbus and R&D within Solar Cleaner is very different. A life cycle of an airplane is 30 years. So basically, an engineer can work his entire career on a winglet, or you have very, very specialized engineers within these groups because of the complexity and because the certification is something which is really critical in this segment. We were literally developing a new market. So in our market, there is absolutely no standard, which is a great thing, but also a complexity because it's more difficult when you have no standard to prove that your devices are good for the panels, good for the not breaking the panels, et cetera, et cetera. Panels can be very fragile, and there are many things to look at. And given that there is no standard, we have to literally explain this to every customer, and it's very time-consuming to educate the market. To come back to your initial question, what do we need in terms of engineering? I think this also evolved tremendously over the last 6 years. In the beginning, we started with mechanical engineering skills to develop our first robots. And I would say that the electronical parts of our robot was analogic electronics, so relatively easy to manage. And along the developments, we went more and more towards complex topics. At some point, we took the decision that we wanted our robots to become autonomous. So we started to recruit roboticists. Actually, these kind of moves towards new technology is the complexity, because when you master and understand very well one domain in engineering, it doesn't give you much help to start a completely different domain. If you are a mechanical engineering company and you need to develop a software, you basically start from scratch and you need to learn everything. So we had different sequences of strategical move to new topics. The first one was making these robots autonomous. So we started to work with Georgia Tech, who has a campus near Luxembourg, and with a spin-off of the University of Coimbra, which were skilled in automating robots, and using those two partners to really recruit the right people to later on develop these topics internally. So that's how we proceeded. And we started to recruit our own roboticists and little by little acquired know-how on GNSS RTK integration into robots, LiDAR integration into robots, and more technical roboticist topics. Today, we do a second move towards a new field. It's clear that artificial intelligence is a huge potential in tomorrow's business. And we want to be capable to offer predictive maintenance of the solar panels thanks to sensors which can be placed on our robot and which will be capable to collect massive volumes of data that we then need to exploit to be capable to tell our customers where they could make changes to raise the energy of their solar panels. So basically, there is a new shift going on right now in Solar Cleaner. Our business model is also evolving with those shifts, obviously, because when you sell mechanical goods, you are a hardware reseller. When you go and move towards autonomous robots and software or service operations, it completely shifts the business model of the company.
Okay. And you mentioned just before that having this international mindset with people speaking various languages is obviously a huge benefit to your company. You know, as you are based in Luxembourg and 99% of your market is outside of Luxembourg, so what are the challenges for a Luxembourg-based business to export their products internationally?
I think that from Luxembourg, it's very easy to do business internationally. We have the ease to be very near to the decision takers, and globally speaking, exporting from Luxembourg is quite straightforward. Having said that, it's clear that international business is more complex than national business, and we face some limits in certain countries. If we take the examples of Brazil and India, I think that everybody is aware that these countries have big market entry barriers through tariffs, And these tariffs are clearly limiting our possibilities in these countries. But for the rest of the world, I would say that it's very convenient to do business from Europe, generally speaking, because Europe has a lot of trade agreements. And in the countries where we don't have trade agreements, there are constraints, obviously, but they are not, you lose time, clearly, and you have a lot of paperwork, but they can be overcome. We sold robots in Cuba. We sold robots in South Sudan earlier this month. It's one new country that we opened. So we must be around 90, having delivered more than 90 countries now. And I think that once you delivered countries which are out of any trade agreements with Europe, you understand the main requirements. They are changing from time to time, but globally speaking, it's the same process. What is more difficult are the countries which have big tariffs at the entry, such as Brazil and India. There, I must say that it's really difficult for us to enter these countries, and the strategy would be to open a local entity in these countries. I believe that Moody has a very strong willingness to promote Made in India. It could be an option for Solarclino. However, for the time being, we concentrate on the quick wins. It's very difficult, or we didn't find the right partner in India yet. It's a really, really big market potentially for us, but we need to find the right entry point with the right scheme in order to address this market. And at this stage, we didn't. So we concentrate on the rest of the world, which is already growing very fast.
So overall then, you know, in the countries or the continents you are operating, your model is as well that you work with partners in these different countries. It's not that you have your own employees based in these different countries. So your model overall is a partnership network that you built over the years, similar to what you obviously do with Fall Protect.
There are some major differences, and I think the business model of Solarclino is a 21st century business model. Indeed, in the past, when you were a hardware reseller and you were relying on thermic engines, usually there were a lot of maintenance on these machines, where whatever machines we're talking about, if we speak about tractors or cars or whatever, you always had to perform higher amounts of maintenance, which tempted, and I think also doing business internationally was more complex in the past. Being near to the market was crucial, and the world is opening itself and it's becoming more and more easy to perform business worldwide from Luxembourg. So here, because we have electrical engines and technology which is very simple, we don't need any relay in our sales scheme. And this has been one of the strengths of Solarclino, is that we sell directly to end customers, and we perform 90% of the maintenance of our robots via WhatsApp or the local equivalents. So selling indirect enables us to take away all the distributors' revenue and also to have direct feedback from all our customers. So we have delivered more than 800 robots worldwide, and receiving direct feedbacks for all these units enables us to mature the level of the robot much faster, because as soon as you have relays, you have a loss of information and obviously a loss of margin. So the model here is quite different from Fall Protect, because at Fall Protect we sell safety material, and these needs to be installed by a professional and by qualified people. So there we have a real network. Within Solarclino, we sell to the end user, and we created an ambassador scheme for people who are using our robots worldwide and which are particularly active on social media, for instance, we are very lucky that our customers are very proud of what they do and the material they use. So they talk a lot about their way of working. And for some of them, we give them some advantages, and we have an ambassador crew around the world, which is helping us to improve the robots and which is helping us to promote the robots locally.
The obvious question following up from that is regarding talent. And on our podcast, when we speak to different business leaders, it's a question that always comes up. And obviously, as a Luxembourg business, manufacturing mixed with technology in green initiatives, where Solar Cleaner obviously falls into, finding talent to work on your projects can be difficult. So how can you draw talent to your business, and what stands out that you can find the right people to work with Solar Cleaner?
Well, indeed, it's a challenge. But I think from our perspective, again, we are spoiled because we are a startup. We have a very young and dynamic team. We are into robotics and in a field of green energy and sustainable topics. So basically, we tick all the boxes of the Y and Z generation. So we offer their dream, literally their dream jobs. They are coming to work, play ping pong at lunchtime, and work on sustainable topics. So in this regard, I believe that it's easier for us to recruit people because the offer proposal that we have is quite into the main trend. Having said that, we look for very particular profiles. So people with know-how in ROS coding and GNSS use, because we need our robots to have a centimetric precision in the middle of a desert. These kind of engineers are not really available in Luxembourg. So we need to look abroad. We are participating to some Horizon calls. So these are European calls where you create consortium and you work together with European companies on some topics. This is for us an interesting way to find talents, because we work with universities and companies from all around Europe and get to meet people which are trained in our fields, and from time to time there is a good match. We also capitalize on the company in Portugal who was the first, I would say, people who helped us recruit our roboticists. So they, as I said, they are a spin-off of the Coimbra University. They are in Porto, in the incubator from Porto University. So there we also have a pool of engineers that's perfectly fit with our requirements. And then it's a matter of luck. We post open positions and we scan what is coming in. It's clear that out of 200 CVs, the unique ones we need for our company are relatively, or you don't find them around the corner. So you need to have a little bit of luck. But I think that until now, we really manage it well, and it's not that much a constraint. It hasn't been that much a constraint. On the long run, to keep people in Luxembourg, this is more difficult, because attracting young people coming out from university is one thing, but making Luxembourg a lifelong story for the young generation nowadays is much more complex. I believe that if you start to raise children and you need to acquire a home, et cetera, in Luxembourg, this is really the drawback. So for the time being, there are only a few people from Solar Cleaner which are reaching this range of life, because the average age is beneath 27 years. But in the midterm, this is really a challenge. Finding a home and developing or continuing to have a competitive advantage of being in Luxembourg with 10 years plus work experience is more difficult, I believe.
Leading us then to the second part of this podcast, as we spoke about your channels already and your customer base in the different countries. And we always like to talk about Luxembourg as a marketplace, or in terms of the business, obviously, as this podcast is about Luxembourg and its businesses. So at a personal and professional level, what do you like the most about Luxembourg? And if you could change something in a business sense, what would that be?
Well, I think on a professional level, or at a company or startup level, what is really the strongest point of Luxembourg is the ease to contact the right person. Whoever wants to set up in Luxembourg, whenever he faces a problem, with two or three phone calls, you will end up having the meeting you need to find the solution to your problem. I give you a more concrete example. We develop robots which will be deployed in desertic area. the layouts of the solar plants in these regions are very different from the ones we find in Europe. In a nutshell, in Europe, all the panels are facing south and they are fixed. In the desert, the panels are looking east and they follow the sun to the west because this is the most efficient way to collect the solar energy. And because we don't find these solar fields in Europe, we needed a test bench to perform iteration for our engineers to improve the robots more rapidly. And if each time you need to fly to Egypt or Saudi Arabia to perform these tests, it costs you a lot of money and it's very slow. So we needed a test field. We discussed with a few people who are in the ecosystem to support the company. Lux Innovation is one of them. And you get introduced to the people from the government who can really support your need. And so in a very fast and straightforward way, we've been allocated a field where we will have our test field. And you see, these aspects are really critical for the growth of startups because we cannot afford to buy a plot of land in Luxembourg, but we need to have the capacity of performing a huge amount of tests. So this is one example of the kind of support we receive. And I would say that globally speaking, through the Chamber of Commerce and the mission, the economical missions around the world, through the entire ecosystem from Luxembourg, this is really what I like about being here, is that you can exchange very easily to find solution to your problems. And the ecosystem led by the startups in the space environment is also helping us on a daily basis, because we work on technological aspects. And sometimes there are topics where we don't have an insight, and there is the possibility to meet these other players which are in high tech topics and which usually know what we are talking about and can help. So I would say that this is the strong point. What would I change in Luxembourg? But it's really easy as well. Clearly, Luxembourg needs to invest more into solar energy. Our country might not have the highest sunshine level around the world. However, green energy production through solar would be efficient in Luxembourg. And I think we need to move a little bit faster in that direction, because the potential is there, but it's totally unexploited, or is still quite unexploited. So there is movement there. The other thing that I would really much like would be if, for the innovative green energy companies, we could have a kind of a cluster, the same they did with the space industry, but dedicated to renewable energy. So basically, a Luxembourgish solar valley, which would be composed of many startups from the solar energy or even the sustainable energies environment. And there is a lot going on in these fields. As I said before, we are part of different horizon calls, so European calls, and here we work on offshore solar energy fields. We work on new generation of solar plants, or solar plants which are mounted completely autonomously thanks to machines. So our market is really, really active in terms of innovation. And I think that if we could attract some of these future big companies, but which for the time being in a scale-up or startup process, that would be great for our economy, because these players will become in the future some of these players will become major companies. And this will happen much, much faster than for the space industry. It's clear that in the recent years we saw in space that some companies are growing very, very fast. I believe that energy is one of the domain where innovation in the coming years will be tremendous. The grid management through AI, there was a speech about AI at FEDIL's annual meeting earlier this week, and the person talked about how the grids will be managed in the future. All these new technology arriving in our field will lead to international major players. And I believe Luxembourg has the possibility right now to attract some of these future big players. And that would be a great thing for the country, I believe.
Overall, in the benefit of time, before we close the podcast, I always like to ask entrepreneurs, anyone wanting to join your company, what should they do?
Well, I think we are very visible on the social media and our internet webpage is easy to find. So I think the first thing to do is follow us on the social media to assess and see if we or what kind of positions are open. We do like entrepreneurial people. In a startup, you need to be very flexible and to tackle everything. So basically, calling us is more than welcome because it shows a little bit your motivation to really get in touch and learn more about the company, and it shows as well your motivation. Afterwards, there are a lot. We recruited a dozen of people in 2023. I think we will recruit about the same this year. So I forecast to finish the year with 50 employees within Solarclino. The opportunities are there. And obviously, we look for highly specialized, skilled engineers, but we also need to fill in all the other positions from marketing to administration to sales. So I would say that if it's a field that is of interest for you, if sustainable energy and robotics is of interest, then try to ring us and talk to all our employees and try to have as much information as you can about the company and raise your interest and tell us how you foresee possible cooperation, and based on that we will certainly give a positive feedback to your implication.
And of course, not to forget, you are, I'm assuming, in 2024, again, participating on a lot of international exhibitions. So it will be pretty easy to find you guys on your individual stands.
Yes, even I cannot remember all the exhibitions we participate in. I think there are more than 20. Basically, we are everywhere. If you want to participate to one exhibition in Europe, I would strongly recommend to go to Intersolar. It's the biggest trade fair in the solar industry in Europe, and it happens in June. It's in Munich. But obviously, if you are around Luxembourg, the best is to pass by the company and meet us. And then I think in the Luxembourgian ecosystem, you can also talk to Lux Innovation or the Chamber of Commerce and find our contacts. I mean, the world is small, you will find us.
And especially in Luxembourg, like you said before, sometimes 2-3 calls away and you get to speak to the person you exactly want to speak to.
Yes, and this person can do something for you, because I do discuss with people from different countries and sometimes I feel that we are very lucky that when we raise our hands, we get positive answers and we get support, which is not the case everywhere. So this is really very much appreciable to grow the business.
Fantastic. So Christoph, thank you very much for your time. And yeah, if you have any last words, then please go ahead. But thank you very much for your time today on the Lux Unplugged podcast.
Well, Thierry, thank you for interviewing us and for giving us the opportunity to speak about what we do and what we wish to develop.
Thank you for listening to Luxembourg's leading business podcast. If you're listening to our show on Apple Podcasts, please rate our program using the 5-star scale and leave us a review. Or if you're tuning into Spotify, it takes just a few seconds to give us a rating on the overview page of our show. You can also email us with your feedback or suggestions at info@luxunplugged.com.